Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning I'd like you to consider going on a journey. It's a journey Gary, who Charlotte was praying, has made and is making every day. It's the journey that's described in our reading that Zacchaeus starts. It's a journey you might have made, you might never have made, but that Jesus invites you on, I believe, every day. And the beginning of it, I hope, is illustrated by a story. Something happened to me, a true story. A few years back, I was on a flight on holiday to France, 35,000 feet. And suddenly the aeroplane, luckily my wife and I are in, hits turbulence. It's somewhere when winds start buffeting the plane. This makes me feel very, very uncomfortable. Somebody said, nobody is an atheist in an aircraft that hits turbulence. And I know exactly what she means. I'm not a big fan of planes because I don't like heights and I don't like confined spaces. Double whammy. In a height, in a confined space that hits turbulence, I'm really struggling. And making it even worse is that everybody else is fine. My wife's looking out of the window. She says, "Wow, look at the Alps down below." I say to her, "I'm fine, thank you." The flight steward comes and says to me, "Is there anything you'd like, sir?" What I want to say to him is, "Could we land? Are we nearly there yet?" It feels a bit childish. The only sign that I might not be entirely comfortable is that I'm holding on to the armrests and my knuckles are getting white. Otherwise, I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, thank you. How are you? I'm fine, thank you. It's what we say. It's what I've learned to say in my French conversation class. Très bien, merci. One, because I don't know the vocab to say anything more complicated. But secondly, I'm not going to tell the truth to people I don't know. The journey of a soul begins in a place where, using the visual aid we've used for the last 2 weeks, we hide ourselves for very good reasons behind a wall. This morning, it's this wall. And we hide who we really are behind it. I'm just going to go on to this one. It's quite a high wall. And it's got a label on. The label we'd like to project of who we'd like to be. And I'll just put on it, fine. I'm fine, thank you. And Zacchaeus is. This is what we know about his life. Number one, he's very rich. Number two, he's very successful. He's also, something we know about him, he's short. I'm guessing at this, but I suspect that he's been looked down upon probably for the whole of his life. And who knows, maybe this has given him an anger. I will show them. I will turn the tables on them. I want to be in a place where I can look down on others, which perhaps has started his career as a tax collector. So now on the label of his life is that he's rich. And he's at the top of his career ladder, a chief tax collector. But on the inside of his life, I guess on the inside of all of our lives, there's turbulence. He knows something is missing. The journey that Jesus invites us all to go on begins in the place where actually in our heart of hearts, we know that we're not fine, that something is missing. And we might hide it. We're in our own hiding places. Behind the wall we hide behind the labels that are on the outside of the wall. Jesus wants to come to our hiding place. This is what he does to Zacchaeus. If you have your Bible open, do keep it open and look at verse 5. What does Jesus say? To this man who knows something is missing, he's curious enough to want to have a vantage point to look at Jesus. And he says to him, come down immediately. The beginning of the journey that Zacchaeus is on, the beginning of the journey Jesus invites you and me on, he calls it salvation. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, calls it recovery. It begins with the first step that we come down out of our hiding place. We come down to the level where Jesus is on, and Jesus, who had the title of the friend of sinners, who mixed with the lowest of the low, who left his life on a cross as the lowest of the low, a criminal. He was sentenced to death. After death, it says that he descended to the dead, even to hell. Jesus goes as low as one can go. He mixes with those who know their need of him. And he says to Zacchaeus, come down from your hiding place. And he says, I must come to your house. This is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to take away the walls that would separate us from him. The walls that would say to him, I'm fine, thank you. And the beginning of the journey he calls salvation, the beginning of this journey, begins with us saying, Jesus, I am not fine. We only say this to people we trust. We don't wear our hearts on our sleeve if we are wise, but to someone who we trust, we allow in to more and more of the reality of who we are. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come out of your hiding place. I must come to your home if you want to be transformed. To find that which you know in your heart of hearts is missing. To find that which is lost. I must come into your home. Summing up this journey, Jesus says in verse 10. Can you see it? In verse 10 of Luke 19. The Son of Man, Jesus says, that's himself, comes to seek and to save the lost. Step one is to let go of the disguise that actually we're not lost, I'm fine. Zacchaeus, for all his wealth and success, is lost. He's as lost as a goose. No one likes him. He doesn't even like himself. He's sure he's a million miles from God. And Jesus says, come down. If I find you and come into your house, you do not need to be lost any longer. I've come to seek and save people exactly like you. How uncomfortable
it can feel to come down. How much we'd love to be above all turbulence, looking down, unruffled. But throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus inviting people to start their journey by becoming smaller, to let go of grandeur, to come down like the prodigal son comes down. If you know the story of Jesus, where first the prodigal son in Jesus' story has to lose everything he has. And then it says he came to his senses. And letting go of all grandeur, he has to return to his dad and say, I am sorry for what I have done. A man with a withered hand, we were thinking of 2 weeks ago, he's got his withered hand in his first century pocket. And Jesus first says, stretch out your hand, reveal what is withered. Reveal all that is lost that needs healing. As AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, puts it in the description of what they call step one, we have to admit a powerlessness, that our lives are in need of help, and Zacchaeus does. And then Jesus invites him to step two. He says this, I must stay at your house today. We can reasonably guess Zacchaeus has shut everyone out of who he really is. And as we said 2 weeks ago, what Jesus wants to do is this, to take down that wall, to let him come in, to be let into the places where transformation needs to happen. What we'd love to do, I suspect, if you're like me, is to transform ourselves, to try a bit harder, to love a bit more, to be a better Christian. And we can put on a show for as long as we're in church, as long as we're preaching. But actually, the journey called salvation is not a self-help project. It's not about finding the right technique or working harder. The claim of Jesus is that only he can bring the salvation that the gospel, a word which means good news, is talking about. The gospel isn't information. Oh, that's interesting. No, it's transformation for everyone who can say to Jesus and trust him, Lord, I'm not fine. Please come in. He's invited to trust Jesus with a place in his real life. AA calls it a higher power. But we at All Saints, with the church across the world, do not call it a higher power. We call him Jesus Christ. And he knocks at the door of your life every day. It says in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And he's speaking to church members. He's speaking to a church in Revelation 3. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Exactly what he's doing with Zacchaeus. And anyone who opens the door and will receive him, I will go in and eat with them and they with me. It's transformational. It has a change on Zacchaeus' life. The disciple John, in his gospel or book, puts it this way. To all who received Jesus, to all who believed in his name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. John 1 verse 12. And a child recognizes that their parents who love them have a greater power than themselves. That they know it's not good to be home alone. It doesn't work to live by your own power, your own skills, your own wealth, your own success. Jesus says, it's not good, Zacchaeus, to be home alone. Let me in. Let go of the old way. And Zacchaeus says the one qualification Jesus needs to bring his restoration. He's got what the writer A.W. Tozer calls a vacuum of desire for the Holy Spirit to rush into. A vacuum is in a place where if you open it up, whatever is outside will rush in. And I suspect Zacchaeus has been waiting for years and years for something or someone to help him to change. Because the moment Jesus comes along, he's there. The moment Jesus says, come down, he comes down. The moment Jesus says, let me in, he lets him in. And the moment he lets him in, transformation happens. This isn't just information for Zacchaeus. It's a chance for a whole new life. But it begins with admitting that he's not fine, admitting that he can't change himself. And the third step is then actually doing something about it as a sign that he's actually been transformed. And what does Zacchaeus do? You remember? If you don't, it's in Luke 19. What does he do? Going way beyond what the law of the day said you had to do if you cheated anyone. He's not responding to a law, but responding to this first person who's even God himself, who's maybe he feels ever loved him, who he's ever allowed in. He says, I will pay back how many times? That's right. This huge amount of money he's going to have to pay to everyone that he's cheated. This is his confession. You see, every one of us has an area of our life, unless you're Jesus. Every single one of us, like everyone on earth, has some part of our life that Jesus wants to transform. And for many of us, certainly, I'm speaking personally here, it's this. Oh, there we go. Didn't mean to do that, but it's what Jesus wants to do. You see, what you do with this, if you can see it, says a great deal about what you value. You know, anybody, including me, can talk a good talk. When you actually pay for something, when you actually sacrifice something that is very valuable to you, you know, that's walking the walk, isn't it? And this is what Zacchaeus does. He's not just getting information, he's showing he's being transformed. His walls have been knocked down, and most particularly the wall to the hardest place to break in. I was taking the funeral about 10 years ago of a very, very rich man, and the final hymn was Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And it had a misprint in the service order. It had the line in it, Land my safe on Canaan's side. It's quite good, because it was a funeral, I couldn't laugh, but it was quite funny. You see, the fact is, well, we know this. We can't land our safe. We don't take it with us. We know this. But on earth, the door that Jesus often finds it hardest to open because we won't let him, and he only goes in where we let him. He stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't force it down. The hardest door to open is the door to this, which can be locked like a safe. And I mean, I'm speaking personally, I was brought up, you know, with a savings account, and I was taught from day one how to save. I find this very, very difficult, but I have learnt that the blessing of God is the same blessing Zacchaeus receives when we actually give, and that sacrifice in this way isn't a command, it's not a rule, it's not a tax, it's actually the place of blessing. It's why the PCC, that's our parochial church council, in our budget this year, have repeated what we've done in the past, but really looked into it. What is a tenth, a tithe, of everything we as a church receive? It's over 500,000 we're budgeting for this year. And that tithe goes to people like Charlotte prayed for. We're called All Saints all around the world. Giving to others. It's a way of saying to God, I trust you for my security. I'm taking off the label of my life, as Zacchaeus is saying, that was about what I earned and what I own. I'm no longer putting up a wall to my safe. I'm letting you into that, and as a sign of it, I am giving what you've put on my heart to give. And 2 weeks ago at Vision Sunday, we asked everybody here to do the same, simply to ask God, what is he calling us to give? And I find it, and just because I find this hard, a really useful principle to think, what do I earn gross? And to give a tithe of that to what I feel God is putting on our hearts to give. This is the journey of salvation that Jesus invites Zacchaeus on, he invites you and me on. This stone represents for you, if you so wish it to be, maybe your whole life, maybe a door to one room in your life, whether it's your wallet or whatever that door is, where Jesus wants to come in and he's standing at that door and knocking at it in order that he might transform what is behind. And in a moment, I'm going to say a prayer inviting Jesus, the crucified Jesus and the resurrected Jesus, to come and bring his transformation into your life or into that area of your life. And if you wish to, you can echo this prayer in your heart. If there's something where you feel, you know, that Jesus wants to bring his transformation to you. And then as the bands come up, in fact, they can do that now. When we sing our first worship song, which is this, thank you for saving me. Thank you for this journey of salvation that I'm wanting to make. If, for you, this prayer is your prayer this morning, and there's some wall represented by this stone that you want to give to Jesus and let him behind, you can put it in a waste paper bin. There's one for this side, one for the other side. And if there isn't, don't just keep your stone and put it outside. But if there is, it's an action, a way of saying, I identify with Zacchaeus in this. If this is your prayer, I invite you to pray it in your hearts. Lord Jesus, like Zacchaeus, I need your transformation. Thank you for knocking at the door of my life, for inviting me to let you in. Like Zacchaeus, I confess all I have done wrong. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and forgiving me. I ask for your transformation in whatever area of my life needs it. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fill my spirit. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. And if that is your prayer, as I said, you can put the stone in the bin. And very practically, before you leave, I invite you to tell someone you trust here this morning that that prayer was yours, especially if it's the first time in your life you've ever prayed this prayer. Someone you trust, Or if you don't know anyone, you can tell someone we trust, who's our prayer ministry team. They'll be standing to my left, your right, just here. And if it's your prayer and you wish to, you can come and ask for them to seal your prayer with theirs. And I'll let them know that today you prayed, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving me," which we sing now.